friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Right. Well, Brenda, thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me, Wit. This is going to be a blast.
Oh, this is going to be a blast. everywhere we go, I feel like we introduce ourselves as the white and black version of each other.
Yes.
because we're both. Here's the thing, though. I feel like you're less awkward than me. I feel like you're just kind and you say it. But I mean, you have your moments. I feel like you catch yourself a little better. You hide it really well.
Because it's there. I'm just learning how to hide her, tuck her away.
Yeah, and then mine, the more I hide it, the worse she gets.
It's more awkward.
Oh my gosh, it's more awkward.
Actually, I'm going to just let y'all have it because I'm making it worse.
So just enjoy, okay? All right. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, me and Brenda, I mean, we met through obviously doing some church stuff together at Potter's House. And mm-hmm. I think just the little bit that I was around you, even like when we started doing things, it was so funny because you were doing more of the production side. And so you had to help me. One of the days we did like a press day. Oh my gosh, and I just wanted to cry the whole day because I was like, I hate being in front of the
camera. I can't do this.
But there's something about you that you carry just such like strength, and not strength in, I think sometimes we say, we call each other strong because it means like lack of like emotion or weakness or anything like that. But I just think that you carry yourself in a way that also makes other people feel confident about themselves. Like your strength is it's kind of infused into those that's around you. And so I think whenever I'm just around you, obviously I'm my awkward white girl, but I'm just like, man, but I just feel good. Anytime I'm around Brenda, I just feel good. I feel encouraged. I feel like just better after I've just been able to be around you. And so you have quite the journey. I feel like you have
quite the
story. And so I know it's such a hard, I feel like everybody, we always start this way, but just wanted you to just take a minute and just talk a little bit about who you are and just kind of some of your journey to moving to California to just where some of you are today.
Yeah. I feel like who am I is such a complex question.
Isn't it?
ask myself every day.
Every single day.
Oh my goodness. But I have been in California since 2018. I moved here after experiencing one of the, I don't even know what to call it. Probably, I'll just say like one of the lowest points of my life, which actually continued after moving to LA. But like long story short, I was on staff at a church that I had been attending for like 8 years. And I was serving there. I was overseeing young adults. I was on staff as the creative media director. So I oversaw like production, creative. I traveled with my pastors, had a very close relationship with them. I served them. I was like their assistant. I kept their kids. I stayed at their house, like super, super close with them. And I started dating a guy in the top of 2018. And we had been friends for like over 10 years. And we were dating and we were like, because we were like best friends for 10 years, we were like dating, but like, you know, at the end of the year, we were probably going to be engaged because it's like, we don't even got to play with that.
Right.
It was moving very, very quickly. And I think now I can identify that as like my first real love. Like, I think I was like, love.
Yeah.
And in dating him, I'd like came across some text messages, which later kind of revealed that he was in a relationship with my male pastor. I always have to take a pause after that because I always be trying to like rush past it.
Because
this is what happened. And then like, but the Lord is good. And it's right. like, what? Right. No. like, right. it's just like, It's the awkward black girl in me that doesn't want the dramatic pause after it.
Oh, the dramatic pause. Yeah.
He's like, let it soak in. It is exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Through that, I've like found that out. And as you can like imagine, it was a like layered heartbreak. It was like the guy I'm dating, but also this is like not just my pastor. I'm like, he's like my, I called him my dad. He's my pops. Like, his wife was like, they were my spiritual parents, like very, very close relationship with them. So it's just like layers of heartbreak and betrayal and not really understanding. I would have never dated that guy if I didn't feel like God told me to do it. So then there's this element of like, God, I was following you. And it led me to like the most broken place I've ever, like in my life, I've ever experienced. But I always like title that moment or time period in my life is like my journey to God's heart. I literally feel like I learned how to love the way that God loves us, because I didn't even like release like what happened publicly until like April of 2020, my first episode of my podcast. And it was just simply because like I would probably wanted to take that to my grave.
It
carried so many emotions, like sharing it, and like even it affected how I saw myself and like decisions and like all of this stuff. But I feel like I met Jesus in that space. Like, I feel like that is what catapulted like an intimate relationship with Jesus, which is weird, 'cause I feel like it was designed to do the complete opposite, but pushed me like straight to him. And then after all of that, he didn't even release me from that church. I stayed there for like a couple months. I never went back to work there, but I stayed there for a couple of months, like still serving and leading. And then he's like, hey, let's go to LA. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense. You know? And that LA was like a dream I always had that I felt like he didn't really want me to do. So I just hung out in Chicago thinking that was where my life was going to end. He's like, now let's go. And I've like the scariest decision I ever made. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have connections anymore. I didn't have a job lined up. I didn't have a place to live. I just was following Jesus and moved across the country. And I think that was the best decision in my life. Like, pushed me into purpose. I started working in production. I ended up being a producer on a talk show on TBN, which was a dream job. Maybe not at TBN, but it was definitely a dream job. You know, like, definitely didn't dream up a Christian network. That was not what we were thinking.
You didn't grow up hoping to work at TBN.
No.
And that's my favorite.
Yeah, but like 8 months into moving here, I had a job on a television network working on a talk show as a producer. Like, that's that doesn't just happen in LA. Like, you gotta work for that, you know. I got a chance to work at the BET Awards. Like, I got things I dreamed about, like God was just giving me. And I somehow went from producing to producing at a church. That's how we met.
Yeah.
And then now we have transitioned from producer to preacher. And I don't know who I am.
Yes, we have. Oh my gosh. When I came to your church and I heard, like, obviously I've been like hearing clips and stuff, but I was like,
yo.
Oh yeah, this is in the bag.
I'm just like, Lord. I'm just confused, like in the best way, confused. Yeah. Like we think we know and we don't have any idea, like
we don't,
what the Lord has planned for us.
Yeah. Man, I love that though, because you, and we've talked a little bit about this before, but it's just, you've been taking these big leaps of faith and being obedient to what God has been calling you to. And then it's just like, obedient just releases something in the atmosphere that breaks a lot of stuff off and catapults us to where God wants us. But it's, it's terrifying. It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It is gut-wrenching. It is painful. Sometimes it feels like it's like punishment.
Absolutely. It's,
oh my gosh. That's...
It is. It's crazy, because growing up, you don't hear about obedience. Like, we preaching about, like, you got to pray and like, you got to read your word, which those are very important things. But what I've learned is, like, obedience has been the thread in which, like, my relationship with Jesus has been, like, as intimate as it is. It's like, it's been obedience. I've been able to hear him say something, take a step, and then watch my life, like, I don't know, like upside down kind of thing. And It is. It has been crazy. And it is exactly how you described it. I was just thinking earlier, like, being obedient and living a lifestyle of obedience is like life-changing, life-altering, and life-giving all at the same time.
Right.
It's like all those things all wrapped into one. It is. Yeah. I can see, like, because it's crazy, when I first moved to LA, I was inside of myself. Like, mm-hmm. It's hard to explain that. But like, talking to you on this podcast would not have happened. And right. like, if you would have met me before I experienced all I experienced, that would have been who I was. But I like went into like this shell. I wasn't talking. I wasn't speaking. I had a lot to say, but wasn't. I was just like locked inside of myself. And I remember going on a 30-day fast and like literally God breaking that stronghold, because that's what it was. It was an absolute stronghold. Like I couldn't even pray. Like with power and authority, absolutely not. Yeah. Like it was like I was in, like, that's the best way I could describe it. Just like inside myself, completely like shut down. I didn't want to have friendships. I didn't, because I never wanted to experience that level of pain. And so I feel like steps of obedience took me on this journey where like I started to understand my worth again. And like at first it started off as a journey, like, I just want to get back to like normal and who I was.
Yeah, right.
And which shifted into a journey of like, no, I'm supposed to become who God wanted me to be. And it wasn't necessarily the person I was. I can never go back to her because she's already experienced this, you know? Yeah. That's a part of who she is. But that's now, who can I become after that? Like, how can I use that moment to not, like, define me, but help shape me to be, like, who I'm supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And all of it tied to a moment of obedience. Like, breakthrough, healing, restoration was all, like, do this and take this step. Make this move and have this conversation in. And I've just seen it, like, it's consistent. Like, make a move and he makes a move, and then it's like, all right, we're building this trust thing. Like, we're building this trust thing.
Yes. No, that's so good. Because also, when you think about it, like, imagine if Jesus wasn't obedient when God said, hey, I need you to go to the cross. Like, the largest act of obedience. And as believers, we are called to not only be the hands and feet of Jesus, but we are to be like him. And so he obviously, like, we even see Jesus have his moment of like, Lord, why have
take
you forsaken me? Can take this from me? Like, right? And so it's, I like, he is the epitome of what it means to have obedience. And I that's just so, what you're saying is so powerful, because, I mean, even Jesus struggle with it. He did it.
Absolutely.
He wasn't weighing on if he was going to do it or not, but it was just like, man, my own father, this feels like
the absolute worst.
The absolute worst. And he experienced actual physical death.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just so profound. And I commend you too, because like, it, I feel like it is a younger age to really learn that. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? It is, because like, obedience requires great discipline. Mm-hmm. And I just think that discipline is something that is not necessarily cherished or valued. Mm-hmm. And maybe, and I don't want to say culture, like, we are part of culture. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's our, maybe it's like millennials down. I don't know, every generation, but it's, I mean, that's a big deal, Brenda, for you to really be able to take that and have that discipline. And I think, like you said, it comes from learning to build trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really powerful, because I know today we just in previous conversation, just talking about, you're so passionate about building intimacy with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can build a place of intimacy with him without having trust in him.
No, absolutely not. And it also, it's discipline, but it's also experiencing life when you don't make the right decision.
The consequences.
You know, like, because we ain't just been out here always being obedient, you know? There was a time in life where I was like, nah, bro, I'm not doing that, you know?
Right.
I'm good on that. You can have it. And it comes from experiencing life outside of him that makes you go, actually, as much as I don't want to do this, I don't want to experience what it's like to not do this.
Yeah.
Like, I identified very well with Jonah in the Bible. Like, God says do this, and he went the opposite way. He's like, no, actually, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna go over here, because what are you saying? What you saying don't even make sense. I'm gonna go over here. I've done that multiple times, and I've experienced. And it's just like, it makes you love Jesus anymore, even more, because you're like, dang, I was really out here bogus. But the crazy thing is that in 2017 of April, an actual year before that happened, I know I was supposed to move to LA. But I allowed my commitment and loyalty to man to keep me from following God. Absolutely. So in my head, I'm like, dang, what if I would have really, you know, listened? Mm-hmm. I probably could have done without a lot of the things that I experienced. It happened in an exact year later. Right. I heard in 2016 of November, like November 2016, like, hey, it's time. Like, this is now time. And I'm like, okay. I even have a meeting and say, hey, I'm thinking about transitioning and moving. And then January of 2017, like, the person in my department quits. And I'm like, ah, I can't just, you know, up and leave them. And now I'm, you know, a year later, like, you're right, Lord, should have definitely followed you. It would have done my heart some saving.
It would have,
you know. And like, after years and years of that, I was in college, a part of a sorority that God said, hey, you might want to like lay this down, go ahead and walk away. Walked away from like 2 or 3 months, couldn't really take being isolated, and got back in it and almost found myself locked up and expelled without 4 years of school that I had just done. Like, you know, so when you take a couple steps in the wrong direction and they don't end up too well, you know, you end up living life on the edge without a covering. I'm good on that. Yeah. I am good on that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the chances on the other side of this, because I know that if you're asking me to do something, God, that you're going to do, you're going to be with me. And the chances are always better with the Lord than without him.
That's good. That's really good. That's so good. And that's like, man, once he proves himself over and over again, it's like, that's how you create that trust and that relationship and that intimacy, because he just continually proves himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting. I was thinking about the other day, I was like, we are constantly having to learn about waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was like, Lord, why have I not learned it yet? like you say it all over the Bible. It's
all over.
And it's a command. Like, it's not an idea, it's a command. And yet why do I still, obviously in my humanness and my feebleness, but like, I will wake up sometimes and be like, what the heck is going on with my life? What am I doing? Where am I going? Lord, where are you? What's happening? I thought this would have been, you know what I mean? And it's like, and he just simply the other morning, sometimes God can be such a G with me. He said, if you trust me, get up. Because I was laying in bed and I was just like, I felt myself going into the super wallowy place and just like I could have got real depressed and it could have just been. And he said, if you trust me, get up, get in the shower. Like, it was literally, it was so practical. And I was like, okay. And then I got on with my day and I was good. But it was just so funny sometimes. Like, and I think when you're talking about, like, you know, when you put in these practices of discipline based on who God has been, then it's like you just grow even more and more and more, and you experience his goodness even more and more. And so then we'll always be human and we'll always mess up and we'll always do something outside of what he's called us to do, big or just, you know, minutely small. But it's the more that he proves his character, he doesn't have to, but he does because he's a kind God. Then I'm like, okay, Lord, that's right. That's who you are. Who you are. So that's just really good. And I think that's so important too. He's such a good father that when we do experience consequences outside of his grace and his covering, just because, like a good father, That's what that sounded like. State Farm is there. Hallelujah. Huh? Hi, Lord. But just like any relationship or, you know, parents, grandparents, people who loved you, it's like they allow you to experience the consequences because where you're going, it might be a greater consequence the next time. And so sometimes this really, really painful, harsh, gut-wrenching heartbreak can actually be a really small foretaste of what future could have been.
Listen.
Ooh, Jesus.
Because I said, Lord, you could have let me marry him. You could have. You could have let me marry him. And I was like, and it is. It's kind of like that thing, like, you know what, Lord? I'm grateful for the covering that exposure brings, you know? As much as it hurt, Like, but child, expose me, expose anything around me that is, because I'd hate to be in it and got to make some tougher decisions. Just mm-hmm. like, and I'm like, man, they're like, and the thing that we feel like hurts us and breaks our heart is like, God was still covering, you know, he was still covering, even in the things that hurt. So, you know,
that's really good. And so I think that's a great kind of a segue, because I know you've just been talking about how passionate you are with teaching and communicating. I mean, it just comes off in the way that you emulate yourself and just the way that you speak, and like, even on your podcast and even just on like your social media, just the ways that you do, you know, morning encouragements and things to everybody. And it's, and you just talk about like, you're so passionate on really helping people understand what it means to have this intimate, authentic relationship with God. And it sounds like a really, really easy and kind of a basic concept as a believer, you would think, but it doesn't necessarily mean. So what would you say is kind of, what does it mean to have an authentic relationship with God? I know that's a really, really, really big question and concept, but what would you say?
No, I think, and it's funny because it does feel sometimes like this complex, how do I have a relationship with Jesus? Like a real one that doesn't feel like this deep. And I think sometimes because we make it a big thing, it feels unattainable. It feels like, or it feels like I got to be in a certain place before I could get there.
Yep.
And I feel like that is kind of what makes me passionate about it. Cause like, I want to bring it down to like the very smallest thing. Like I want it to be like everyday moments that I'm like, I share things on my Instagram in the morning. Like that comes from me. Just like, this is like the first thought that comes to my head when I wake up in the morning, like, ooh, I needed to tell myself that, you know?
Yeah.
But I always liken it to how we build relationships with each other. Yeah. Like when you first meet a dude and you like really into him, you want to talk to him all the time, every day. You want to send a text like, what you doing? Like,
or you just avoid him.
No, Whitney.
And
no.
Stare at him from across the room. And but never like, say a word.
And go like, oh my God, I really want to talk to him.
But just stalk him on Instagram.
But that is a thing, though. Yeah, it's the same way. It's the same way, because when people first meet Jesus, they feel the same way. They like, I'm staring at them from across the room. It's like, I can see everybody else like talking to them. And that's a person I really want to talk to. But the same things that go through your head in that moment with a real person, you're like, am I enough to even approach them? Like, are they going to reject me? Are they going to like the same thoughts that we have with people? Like, are the same thoughts is how we approach our relationship with Jesus. But on the other side of that, when you do get enough guts to like finally approach the person, it's like, dang, like I want to talk to them all the time, or I want to know more about them, or like, how can I? And then you create ways to bump into that person, or you like want to text them and be like, what you doing? Like you want to sit on the phone and just hear each other breathe. Y'all not even talking about nothing, but it's just like, I just want to always be in their presence. That's how my relationship with Jesus has been developed. It feels the same way for me. I think about like, man, when I'm really feeling a dude, like I'm just want to know what he's doing all day. Like I want to talk to him. And so what I've learned to do is like, I've learned to look at it in the most simplest form. It's the same thing. Like, man, when I wake up in the morning, it starts with like, hey dad, you know, like, man, you know, God, thank you for like being able to wake up this morning. But like, what is it that you like want to do with me today? Yeah. Sometimes it's just me sitting still, and you gradually grow into deeper things, but it is very simple. And I think because we've made it, like it has to be this deep thing, and I got to have it all together before I can even approach, oh, most humbly, Father, thou artist. Like it's no, how do you build a relationship with a friend? Like, what does your relationship look like with your best friend? Like, how do you talk to them? How do you engage with them? Like you want them to be a part of every part of your life. You want to share things with them. It's like, and that's how I over time have learned to approach my relationship with Jesus. And it starts on the very simplest thing, like just talking to him. Yeah. Even when I talk to him, like even when I like preach or I'm talking to my podcast, I'm very like, I'm talking to Jesus, like, hey bro, what we doing? Cause that's how I relate with him. That's I'm my most authentic self. Like, and not to say that there's a lack of honor, cause I do reverence the presence of God, but also like he knows me better than I know myself. So why I'm gonna try to show up like I'm like who I'm not?
Yeah,
that don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like that don't even make sense. Yeah. That don't, And I think when we start to look at it like that, like, dang, like, so the way that I talk to my friend is the way I could talk to Jesus. Yes. The way that I involve them in, like, when stuff is wrong, instead of maybe calling my friend first, maybe I should try to, like, pray about this. Like, so for me, I have simplified it to the very nature of how I relate on a personal level with people to people day to day. And now I, like, take those same methods of communication, and that's how I communicate with Jesus about everything. And for me, that's, like, what it is. And it has been those moments of obedience that has, like, I've been able to trust him. Or there's been those moments where he's shown up in the weirdest way. Literally, I'm going to post about this, but I'm going to tell you the story.
Hey,
I literally, last Sunday, was getting ready for church, and I had just got back from Chicago. I got home at, like, 1 in the morning, and I'm, like, I'm dressed for church. I'm looking in my mirror. I'm about to leave out. I'm just, like, checking to make sure I'm good. And I see, like, these handprints on my mirror. And I'm like, where that came from? Who? And so I text Stephanie and I said, who hands are these? Whose hands are on my mirror? And at first I was super afraid. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then the moment I, like, as soon as I was afraid, like, literally seconds after that, I text and I said, Jesus? And then finally, like, I just pause and I stare at the mirror and recognize that it's not a right and a left hand. It's one hand, but two times. And in the handprints are so intricate. Like, it was more detailed than me looking at my own hand.
Wow.
And in the hand, in the middle of the mirror, there is a hole in the hand. And I just look at the hand and I start bawling.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I'm like, wait. Jesus, you were here. And, like, here enough to not just, like, I can sense your presence, but you left a mark. Like, you wanted me to know, like, no, I was here and I got you. And it's stuff like that that make me go, like, wait, who am I? Like, that you would show up and then, like let me know. Still right now today, we're almost 2 weeks in. Those handprints are still on my mirror. Like, Those are the types of things that that's the kind of God we serve. Like, just to have a desire to know him, he'll go out of his way, you know, like, and for me, that was like, I needed that moment. Cause sometimes as a believer, it could get a little mundane. Like, you feel like, oh, I got it. I know Jesus. I'm on the track. Like, no, let me never get common with who Jesus is. Like, let me never get to a place where I feel like I know everything or I've exhausted, you know, learning about who he is or recognizing him when he shows up. And no, that nothing like that has ever happened to me. So now I'm like, dang, I want to see you face to face. Like, what's next, you know, kind of thing. And stuff like that is the benefit of having a relationship with Jesus. Like, it is that simple. It is that simple that he could walk in my house and leave his handprint on my mirror. And then I'm like, okay, now I want to know. And now I got like Isaiah 41:10 that talks about, like, not being afraid and how he'll uphold us with his righteous right hand. He's like, not only am I saying that to you, but I'm a, like, I'm a market. Like, it's moments like that that go, like, I don't want any other relationship outside of this one, because what? Like, and now I feel like he was speaking to, like, things that were in my heart that I wasn't voicing. I feel like I'm walking into a season where I am very afraid. It feels so much bigger than me. And he, like, to have a moment where I haven't even articulated that out loud at all, but for him to answer a prayer that wasn't even spoken yet or well thought out or well, like, hadn't even sat with it long enough to be able to say it. And he's like, no, we don't even got time for that. Like, I got you. I'm with you. And I'm not just going to tell you, like, you're not just going to sense it. Like, I'm going to show you. And I think those are the kind of things that you can experience in relationship with God. And those are the things that draw you and go, like, oh, I know he's real. Like, he's as real as my best friend. He's as real as the guy I'm dating. Like, he's that real. And that's how I hope that answered your question. But, like, that's how I approach relationship.
That's so good. I think about, it's in Hebrews, I believe, it's the story of Enoch talking about how he walked with God. And there's that verse, like, without faith, it's impossible.
To
praise the Lord. And as you were talking, I just, the more that we pursue him, the more he pursues us.
Yes.
And it just builds our faith. Like mm-hmm. how you're saying, like these marking moments, all that does is increase your faith.
Yep.
And it just says like that God was so pleased with Enoch and he walked with him for like 300 some years.
And then just walked on to heaven with him.
And then he said, you know what? You don't have to die. You don't have to die.
Just keep walking. Just walk on up to heaven. What?
Right. And and obviously there's more, but what we're told in scripture is it's because of his faith.
Yeah.
I mean, and not simply just that he believed that God existed, but that God responded to those who sought him out.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? He walked with him for three. That just blew my mind. I've been really trying to do more like character study of people in the Bible mm-hmm. and just what, and it is funny. That's the only thing we learn about the only Enoch. Thing.
Enoch walked with God.
That's all we know. We don't know his history.
We don't know where
where he came from. We don't know if he was a good dude or the worst dude. We don't know if he had a little Saul Paul, you know, I mean, we don't know nothing.
Like, he just walked with God.
He just walked with God. And it's so good. I think too, just thinking about ways, like you're saying, when it talks about just like real relationship with people, I think a lot of times we think that we can't be like really honest with God. Mm-hmm. And also ask him like the hard questions or just mm-hmm. verbalize the doubts that we have. And it's this weird, and we've probably just learned it in unhealthy yep. relationships, yep. but it's these weird walls that we put up. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we can be like, Lord, where are you? And he's like, I didn't move. I didn't actually move at all. There's been this bitterness that you've been building up towards me. Mm-hmm. I want to work with you and break that down. Cause that's not for me. And it's, are we willing to take that time to spend with him? Like you're saying, it is so simple. And oftentimes I think, God, where are you? I haven't heard you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, mm-hmm. right I've been sitting right here. Like you haven't,
right here.
You haven't, he draws right near here. To those who draw near to him. Yeah,
it is. And it's so what you're saying, because I've been having this conversation with like, the girls that I'm mentoring, because they're like, I feel this way, but I feel like it's wrong for me feeling this way. And I'm like, right. Hey, God's all knowing, right? He already knows mm-hmm. how you really feel. So why are you going to waste time with a God that knows all and lie to him? Like it doesn't make sense. But to your point, we haven't been taught that in church. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to lie. We've been taught mm-hmm. to lie. We mm-hmm. feel a way, and we've been told that by faith, I don't feel like this. And that is not true. That's mm-hmm. unrealistic. Mm-hmm. It has people suffering from depression and anxiety. Yeah. And broken hearts and disappointment and carrying mm-hmm. it and not being able to like move beyond it because we've been taught to lie. And it's probably one of my biggest pet peeves with the church, the global church,
right.
is because totally. we don't tell people that it's okay to be honest. When I first moved to LA, the reason I struggled so much was because I was disappointed in God. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have language to be able to say, hey, I'm mad. Like, mm-hmm. I am mad at you. Like, right. I feel like right. I was following you and I got into this mess of stuff. And like, yeah. my life has fallen apart and now I got to start all over. The reality was I couldn't even move forward because I'm trying to believe God to show up, but I don't even really truly believe him because I'm afraid it's going to all fall apart again like it just did. So now mm-hmm. I'm viewing him through the lens of my disappointment, but waiting on him to move. Wow. It didn't even make sense. Like that doesn't, and no, like he wants to walk you through that. Mm-hmm. Like he wants to know how you feel about it so he can heal it. And he can like bring some clarity to like, no, baby, I was helping you. Like right. I was covering you. Like I'm trying to save you. And mm-hmm. also I'm trying to build you. Yeah. And it's like, God doesn't make bad things happen, but he'll use them for our good. But mm-hmm. you got to be honest about it. You can't mm-hmm. just be acting like it didn't happen. It doesn't, but we've been conditioned to right. think that if I am honest with how I feel, then it means I don't have faith and I don't really believe yeah. in God. Right. No, I think it proves how much you believe in him if you're yeah. honest with him and you, because now you're letting him be God. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that is one of the most, like, that's, I'm after that. I'm after yeah. people being able to have an authentic relationship with Jesus and be like, hey, I feel like you left me out here. Yeah. I feel like I haven't heard from you in a while. I feel yeah. like you moved me across the world and then you left. Like, yeah. right. like, and be right. honest so that he can be like, no. And then he will show you and remind you, like, you remember when this happened? No, that was, I was in that, you know, like I was in this place. I was there. And I feel like if we don't create spaces where we can be honest, like that is true. Like it won't have completely lost you. There you are. Sorry.
No, you're good.
the tab went away.
No, you're good.
But yeah.
That's really good. And like, as you're talking, it makes me think about too, we can have this intense, like disgustingly honest, you know, real relationship with God. And then I think another way that we can grow in our intimacy with him is then coming to a place of repentance.
Yes.
Because, and like you're saying with obedience, repentance is also not a sexy word.
And it's not.
And it's not a word. I feel like the only time you hear about it is maybe when we talk about like the Catholic faith or tradition or some of that. But I mean, there are so many scriptures in the Bible where we're told to repent.
Repent.
And it says it's his kindness that draws us to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we repent, we're actually inviting Jesus into fellowship with us.
Yep.
Because he's while we are spiritual beings living in a fleshly body, we are not, as much as it feels like, we're not enslaved to our flesh. It feels like it is, but we actually have overcome it. So when we do fall into it, all we have to do is say, God, I am sorry. I repent. Because repentance is simply turning towards him. It is it's leaving that way and turning and towards him. And I think we've made that also to be this. I've really been trying to practice every morning to do, I wake up and I go and I sit across the street at my park and I do my little grounding in the sun and I look like a hippie with my cup of coffee by myself. But it's turned into some of my favorite times because I start out with like just times of thanks and praise. And I just go through and I thank God and I praise him. And then I just go through and for the things that I'm aware of. And then I just ask for repentance of the things that I'm not aware of. But there's something that happens when we invite him into that place and we say, no, Lord, again, I did this, but I'm turning towards you again today because you are my North Star. You are the direction that I'm headed, that I'm following. I am pursuing who you've called to me to be, not perfectly and not I fail every single day, but not, I think sometimes we like culture today, I think in like the spirituality, I try and listen to a lot of things of like people who were believers and then they're not necessarily faith followers. They become more spiritual. It's like this, to be called like a sinner and to be told I did something wrong means that I'm this horrible, awful person. When in reality, it's just that the God that we follow is so holy, so righteous, so pure, so spotless that he just wants, he has the best way for us. His way is the best. And like we said, like a good father, he knows, like we become who we spend time with. We become who we worship. So when we are spending time with the holy, omnipotent, angels are surrounding him, constantly singing, holy, 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 we can't help but become this more like him. We are the righteousness of God. And so while it's not what we do that makes us be loved by him, who we are as his children, he just calls us to higher.
Yeah. It's so good. And what you're saying is spot on. Spot on. I think we don't like to hear the word repent. We rarely ever hear. We don't even hear it at altar calls anymore. And I'm like, guys, come on. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And it has like this, and it's like we live in like a hyper grace culture where it's like, well, God already like handled that. Yeah, he did. But you repenting brings hit who he is, and you acknowledge that he's God. Like, God, you did die for this, but I messed up. I got off, and I know you already handled it, but me repenting acknowledges, like, I'm putting you back in your place because I have replaced you with, like, my flesh or my desires or whatever it is that I chose to do. And repenting just brings you back into alignment. Like, I was going this way, but now I'm back on track. Like, we here. And I think, like, I love what you said. Like, it invites him in because that is what it does. It's like, I'm acknowledging that without you, I'm nothing. I don't amount to anything. But with you, we have access to everything.
Yeah.
And so I love that you brought that up because we don't like to hear about that. I speaking of obedience and repentance, there's like a thing last week. And you know, it was like a situation that just was not handled properly. And it offended me. Mm. And I recognized that, like, I had started to hold it in my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, like, I don't want, like, I need to get this off of me. Cause now it's like, it has taken root in my heart. Yeah. I'm side eyeing. I'm not showing up my full self. Mm-hmm. I'm 2 seconds from being like, y'all can have all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want it no more. Mm-hmm. And I like prayed. I'm like, God, I like, what do I need to do? Like, I need to get this off of me. And he's like, repent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, Lord, you know, you're right. I'm sorry, God. You know, there were some things I could have did. He said, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about me. Mm-hmm. Like, go handle that, because mm-hmm. you've already in your heart sinned against this person because you've taken offense.
Yep.
And now you're living through it. Even if you weren't wrong, you're wrong now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, I had an attitude like that whole night. I was like, but I don't understand. Like, what are you saying? And then I had to ask myself, why can't you do this? Like, even if you weren't wrong, what is it that's stopping you from repenting? I said, it's my pride. Mm-hmm. I can tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't. Now I got to humble myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was the first time in a long time I've had to choose humility. Wow. Like, I feel like that I kind of live life like that. But in that moment, I had to walk myself through like, no, in this moment, I'm going to choose to humble myself and submit myself to what God is telling me to do. And it means repent. And it literally shifted that entire situation. I saw the hand of God move in it. I saw it like clear up right away. And I'm like, dang, like, and I think we talked about this earlier, like when it related to Jesus, like he did obey God in the big things, but even in the little things, the detailed things, mm-hmm. that is really where it counts. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. can you, like, when nobody can see this, when nobody knows that I'm the one telling you to do this, can mm-hmm. you like submit yourself and humble yourself and be obedient and follow me even when nobody else can see it, even when it's not for an Instagram post, when it costs you your pride, can you still obey him?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And then it comes and I'm like, ooh, gritting my teeth and chucking it up, because I'm not even wrong in this situation. And
probably mostly justified. That's the thing too. Like, a lot of times you're actually very justified.
Absolutely.
To have the reaction that we have to things.
And he like, you ain't got no rights. They belong to me. You're right, Lord. It was tough. It was like, because it wasn't just a person. It was like the person and everybody that this, how you handled this, anybody it could have affected.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I did. I followed the Lord on that one, but that one was a tough one.
Yeah, man, that's really good. Mm-hmm. What do you think are like roadblocks or just ways? Because I think, like we're saying, intimacy and encounter with God isn't that complicated. Mm-hmm. But it feels like so many people just encounter such intense barriers to either encountering God and then going deeper with him.
I think there are two things. I think there is, off the top of my head, I would go for religion and shame. And I'll hit shame first. And if you think about the fall of man, like the very first sin, the first thing they did when they felt like they did something wrong was hide. They drew away from the Father. Drew them back.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a huge barrier to relationship with people, with people and God, because we feel like, dang, I messed up. There's no way this spotless and righteous God could want anything to do with me. I'm so messed up. I'm so broken. I've done all of these things. There's no way he would ever want to talk to me, do anything for me. Like, there's no way. And there's like this level of feeling unworthy caused by your shame that keeps you from even. So it's like, well, why would I ever attempt to talk to a God like that?
Yeah.
And what has helped with that is like, man, he already knew you. Like, before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Bible tells us he knew us, which means there's nothing you could ever do that would ever change his mind about you.
Yeah.
Even in that moment, Adam and Eve go, we're naked. He said, who told you that?
Right.
Who told you that you were what you, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who brought you into the realization of who I, like I already cleaned you up. Like even before you made that, I handled that.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing I could ever do to change his mind. Like he doesn't even see me through my mistakes. He doesn't see me as my failures or my shortcomings or even how I see my own self. Cause sometimes it's me projecting that on God and he doesn't see us that way. Yeah. Like, man, he loves you so much and he can't wait to be in relationship with you. Like everything about who he is all for you. Yeah. Like all so that you collide with him and grow in him and develop a relationship with him and understand who he is so you can understand who you are. Like that's the whole reason for this. Like, and I think because of religion, we've been taught that we got to get it together and then we can go after God. And that ain't it. Like religion creates these barriers around who God is and like puts space and all of this stuff between us. And it's like, no, that's not who God is at all. Like he is love. Like he embodies love. Everything that he does is from a place of like, even when he corrects you, it's from a place of like, I just want you to be the best. Like, I just want you to be everything. And I feel like those two things are things that keep people from like ever entering a space where they want to be in a relationship with him. Mm. You mentioned it earlier, like we're spiritual beings in a fleshly body. Mm-hmm. Who we are at our core craves relationship with God.
Craves,
but because there are so many like things that have been placed in between that, we don't recognize that. So we sometimes end up searching for who he is in other things and we end up way off, or we never understand the craving and we just feel like we're not enough or we don't amount. Right. And it's like, no, you don't gotta be enough. He already made a decision about you before you were even born.
Yeah.
And I think like, those are the things that keep us, but man, that's why I'm always like, man, if I don't say anything on Instagram today, like know that Jesus loves you.
Right.
And if it sparks you to send me a DM and go like, you sure he loved me? Like, yes, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Cause now we got to like tear down systems and walls of things that you've built to create space between you ever having a relationship. Right. I'm like, no, Jesus, he right there waiting on you to like, just turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like, I think those are huge barriers that even after having a relationship, we still experience. There are a lot of moments where I feel like, dang, I missed it.
Right.
And I like draw back.
Right.
And I'm probably not showing up or waking up and praying because I'm like, dang, I missed it. And it breaks my heart so much. And I feel like it even helps us with sin, though, because then like me pleasing God comes from how much I love him. And recognize that like he loves me so much, I want to please him, not because I don't want to go to hell, and not because you know what I'm saying,
like
that ain't gonna last, because hell is something I experience later. So if it's a consequence I got to deal with after I die, in my mind, that don't feel that bad, and that I'm just how our generation thinks. They like,
oh, totally.
It's cool, sure,
that's down the road, whatever.
Yeah, that's later on. Mm-hmm. But if I could explain to you the benefits of what it's like to be in relationship with him, and I recognize that. Dang, even when I did this, this, and this, he still loved me? Like, man, I want to do right for a God like that who ain't going to change up on me or change his mind or switch up on me. He's going to remain the same. Even when I be like, all right, bro, I'm off you this month. I'll be back next month. He's still there. Like, who I want to get it right for a God like that who, as much as I change up on him, he's still the same?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow. That's so good. Ah, that's really good. Christine Kane just put a book out and she was talking about sometimes as Christians, some of the things that we can do like to drift and just not have connection with God anymore is nothing. And that hit me really hard too, because I mean, that's so good what you're saying, religion and shame. And then also sometimes I think it's like
nothing.
We do nothing.
That's real.
And like it's said, with it's just like human relationship, like, yeah, you know, I know that we can love each other, but if I don't check in from time to time, like if we're not in constant relationship, there's no way that that's going to grow. It's not like it'll become bad or like a negative relationship, but there's no way for there to be continued intimacy if I don't know you and I don't know who you are as a person and what's going on. You know, it's that was so profound for me to just, because it's such a simple statement. And then I think another thing that I've been processing, I don't remember who said this, but he was saying that we can never worship past our understanding. And so for me, I take that as like, it's so simple, right? Like reading our Bible. And we've heard that our entire lives. And I think I've heard that. I'm like, at glaze over. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Of course we get all that. Right. We know that. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, amen. Yeah. Look at God. But how can I know who God is? How can I learn to trust him? How can I recognize how important obedience and repentance and what it means for him to actually take my shame and replace that mm-hmm. with grace and his love and his peace? How can I know any of that if I really have no idea what he's saying? And yep. it's so basic. Like, it really is the most basic thing, but it's just like, yeah, my relationship with God can never go deeper than my understanding of him.
It's
true. And like you're saying, I think there are so many times that he will come in supernaturally. Mm-hmm. His spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation can, you know, hyperspeed certain things for us. Like mm-hmm. if we think that it's, I have to, you know, I'm never going to know who God is until I take a whole year and read the entire Bible and all of that stuff. No, mm-hmm. it's not, like you're saying, it's not religion. Mm-hmm. It's not just like this do A, B, C, D. But it's knowing him and it's knowing his yep. heart.
Yep.
And it's, if I do love him, I want to know him. I want to know mm-hmm. what he says. I want to know what he says about me. And it's
real.
It is real. And then, yeah, I think that shame, I think the enemy has done a really good job at placing shame in even the simple things of like,
yep.
you didn't read your Bible today.
Yep.
Well,
you didn't wake up and pray today.
It's probably because you don't really know it. Or like, it's probably because it's not that good. Mm-hmm. Or it's, you know, you're probably not that smart enough to get anything out of it. So like, you know what it says. You don't need that, right? So it's just these tiny little things. I don't know. I think so many pastors have said it, but it's like sometimes all the enemy has to do is like distract you. And then it.
Absolutely.
And so you're like, yeah.
No, it's crazy. No, go for it. That is true. It's the distraction in the simplest thing. Like the smallest thing. And now I'm like, dang, it's been 5 weeks. And I'm, what am I even doing? Nothing. I love that.
Nothing.
That just sometimes it's just to do nothing. That's really profound. Isn't simple, but profound. It is. So it might be hitting me a little bit more than I anticipated.
No, it's really simple. Sometimes if you do nothing, she uses that analogy of being in a boat and you put the weight down so that the boat stays. But then if there's a little bit of a current or something and you don't have that thing down, you'll drift.
Drift.
And it's so easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's real.
And as you were talking too, somewhere in Psalms, he says, it is good to be near God.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, it is good to be near God. And mm-hmm. like you're saying, in the moment something happens, we draw away.
Yeah.
And nowhere in the Bible does it say like, hey, take a minute. And
right.
Go process that by yourself. Clean it up.
And then come back.
And then come back and then let's talk. Right? Like even the simple scripture, draw near to God.
Mm-hmm.
We are never told, draw away from God for
like
a moment.
Actually go take a break and then see if he's still mad. Ooh. What?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No. Because the moment you draw away, the child, the enemy gets in that space. He gets in that space and will talk us out or down or all kind of things. Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. No, that's really good. That's so good. Do you, anything else on your heart about that? I think, man, I feel like we've covered a lot.
We did, man. We
Dang.
Did. Good Lord.
This was
good. It'd be the Lord was here talking.
Man. Well, and you, I would love just to close with, there's a lot of things that you're doing, but, and I'll, obviously, of course, I'm going to put everything in the notes and stuff, but you have your own podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit just about your podcast? And it's, I'm obsessed with it.
So I have a podcast called Life in Perspective, and it is exactly what it says. It is us taking a journey and all of the things that we're experiencing and walking in day to day and like getting God's perspective of it. I feel like that's kind of been what has helped in life. Like the moments that I feel like are the absolute worst or I don't know why they're happening or what the heck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like taking a moment to process it with God and go, okay, how do you see this?
Mm-hmm.
And like, what am I supposed to get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And why is this happening? And why is this happening?
Totally.
And it's, yeah. And I feel like that's just what it is. It's usually an episode of me talking myself through my own thoughts.
I love it. And then you also, you are... a producer on Instagram, The Same Room.
Yes, The Same Room. Yes. We are in our third season, and it's really fun. We have a kind of like behind the scenes series called In the Room, mm-hmm. where we kind of just talk about what it was like to be in the room of the episode and how. The amazing thing I love about The Same Room is that we plan really hard for those episodes and they never go the way that we think they're going to go. Yeah. Like literally God hijacks the most inopportune moment because The Same Room is not church.
Yeah, right. But yeah,
he takes over, and I think it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like I've seen it happen every time. The most unlikely person. It's usually the person that's from culture and not faith that wrecks the room. And I think that is like the most beautiful thing because like, God can use anybody. It's not just people who work at a church or are preaching on a platform. He could use like the cab driver or your Uber driver or the person that works at the Chipotle. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's what I love about The Same Room is like it takes these unlikely people and put them in the room and you get to hear about their journey of faith. And so, definitely producing on The Same Room and working on my podcast. And I'm working on a book.
That you are.
Is like
obsessed.
Unfolding every day.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's going to be.
We're not ready. We're not ready for that. We are ready, but we're also not ready.
Yeah. Because I just feel like, the Lord's going to wreck us collectively.
Well, people just got a tiny little bitty, itty bitty taste of just your wisdom and caliber of just like understanding and knowledge and love and passion for Jesus, which is just so infectious. And I think above all else, as people speaking into culture and church and faith, like it just has to be rooted in a passion for Jesus, which again sounds so simple, but it's again, easy for stuff like that to get hijacked and to turn into something else. And so I honor you. I respect you. I'm such a fan of you. I mean, consider me your awkward groupie.
I'm so weak. No, it. I love you. I'm like obsessed with you. I'm like, I'm like, no, for real. I love, they're like, you know, like you meet people all the time, but then there are like people that you meet and you go like, man, God, like you blessed me with this one. Yeah. And that's how I feel like, man, my sister forever.
Ugh. I love you. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing. Yes.
Thank you for having me. This is great. Course. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You have a podcast. You know, the Lord is out here doing things.
He's doing
things. I'm proud of you. And you're doing it well with confidence and strength and boldness. It's not awkward at all. You did great.
Look at God. Look at God.
You are born for this. I'm glad you're finally embracing it.
That's going to be the little clip. But about everybody else. Brenda Palmer, everybody. I'm going to clap.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.